Good afternoon. Nice to see everyone. Thanks for joining us for this home repair NOFA info session. Some attendees are starting to filter in, so I'm just going to allow folks to have a moment to join us, and then we'll get started right around 2.
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Excellent.
Hope you're well as well.
I am.
Great. So we're just letting know, I'm assuming we have a few more attendees joining us. So we'll get started right around 2. I do have folks, we are in webinar mode, but right now you are set up that you can unmute yourselves. It seems like this is going to be a known group of professionals, so I don't think we need to keep everybody muted. All right, well, it's 2:00, so let's get started. Carrie, Lisa, Mona, thank you for being here. Thanks for your interest in this funding opportunity. I'm hoping that you are seeing the presentation without issue.
Yes, I can see it.
Perfect, wonderful. So again, this is the information session for the Home Repair Fund Notice of Funding Availability that was recently released. So just a quick agenda for today, hoping to identify our goals for today, talk a little bit about the funding opportunity, and then give the bulk of the time for the opportunity for some question and answer. Dianara, Brian, great to see you. Thanks for joining. So this opportunity is to give some clarity on the notice of funding availability that was recently released, give an opportunity to provide answers to any technical questions you may have if you had an opportunity to review the application and rubric, if you have any questions about program design. What we can't do, because we are hoping for fair and transparent process, is I'm not able to sort of offer any recommendations on strategy. We need to sort of limit the dialogue to recommendations, to technical questions only. This is a fairly small group, so I don't know that we need to hold questions to the end. If you have something on a slide that you're hoping to have immediately addressed, feel free to jump in. Otherwise, we can take questions and responses at the end of the presentation. The goal is to then post not only this presentation, but also any questions we receive on the PVD Rescue Plan webpage, so folks can use it as a reference, refer back to it, and to ensure that you have all relevant information to help you craft the best proposal possible. So what is the opportunity that's available? We have a one-time influx of cash to the city through the American Rescue Plan Act. And part of that funding has been set aside to enable us to make a one-time enhanced investment in housing rehabilitation programs. One, housing rehabilitation, weatherization, and critical home repairs were identified within the ARPA final rule as a priority, with the goal of allowing households that were gravely impacted by the pandemic and the may be experiencing financial hardships to address home repair needs that they could not otherwise afford. The goal also would be to foster stability in our hardest hit neighborhoods through housing quality improvements and equity building. So through a notice of funding availability, if you're not familiar with this process, we solicit proposals for federally funded initiatives in accordance with identified priorities and needs, specifically to organizations qualified to serve as subgrantees or subrecipients. So these must be nonprofit agencies in good standing with the federal government and the city. And our goal is to serve as a pass-through entity to make a grant to a nonprofit organization who will then operate a program and retain decision-making authority over that program. So our goal here through this NOFA process is to identify the right partners, and we are simply seeking to vet partners and seek quality projects meeting community goals at the best price. So through this NOFA, we are able to fund a program or request for the full amount they request, less than the full amount, or we may find, you know, that the respondents were not appropriately responsive and may need to reissue the opportunity. We do note that with any procurement process, we reserve the right to request additional information from applicants during the review process, and we may use any available information such as audits, et cetera, regarding an applicant's history, experience, or past performance as a city grantee to ensure that we're mitigating risk and properly assessing our partners. So through this NOFA, what's the most exciting part is we have up to $3 million available as a line item in the city's ARPA ordinance to award for housing rehab programs. We are not setting a minimum on the level of request. So you can apply for up to $3 million and there is no floor. There is also a specialized set aside that's been earmarked by our sustainability office for programs offering what we would call pre-electrification services. So programs that would be working with low-income households to ready their homes for forthcoming state and federal electrification incentives. So making that conversion to electric heating, et cetera. So in total, this NOFA, the funding availability is up to $3.5 million collectively. So as I mentioned, it's an opportunity available to any public or private nonprofit organization or collaboratives demonstrated by an MOU who have the experience and capacity to provide housing rehab services to priority populations that were most impacted by the pandemic. The goal would be to have projects that have an approximate 18-month timeline. Our goal and one of the requirements is that we have funds obligated by June 30th of 2024, 18 months away. extension of the project, if it's a project that's up and running, operational, funds are moving, is possible contingent upon available funding. But our overall expenditure deadline and closeout for ARPA is going to be 2026. And that is a non-negotiable. That's when the program as a whole will close out. The city needs to have all dollars spent and beneficiaries realized by that date. So it's important to note that American Rescue Plan Act dollars, ARPA dollars, are federal funds. And so while they are more flexible than many of the federal funds that we've historically had, here at the city or operated through the city's Division of Housing and Community Development, they do still come with some of the federal regulations that cover all federal funding. So we do have an ARPA manual and a sample contract that we'd recommend any applicants review to just ensure that your organization does have the capacity and expertise to meet those minimum federal requirements. Typically, this is around your financial management systems, your ability to maintain records, your procurement policies, and your ability to meet the reporting requirements. So who is eligible for this type of programming? The ARPA regulations and final rule spell out the eligibility categories to provide this type of direct investment into households. So there's really sort of three groups or three methodologies to enroll somebody in this type of program. We would be looking for either households who have already been presumed and qualified as low income and eligible through a means-tested federal program. So ARPA, through the Treasury, is allowing us to rely on income certifications that have been completed for programs such as LIHEAP, food stamps, or SSI or SSDI. So if you are an organization who already works with LIHEAP funds or clients who have enrolled in some other federal means-tested program, that's a transferable income verification process. And so you'd be able to co-enroll those clients in this type of home repair program. There is also just an overarching income guideline. So if you would like to operate a program that is jurisdiction-wide across the city of Providence, we would simply be looking for households to be verified as earning at or below 65% of area median income using some type of federally accepted income verification methodology. So this is interesting and different than some of the other federal housing programs that are out there in that they are pinning to the 65% AMI threshold. And then finally, there is, and probably the most flexible, is that if you are operating a targeted geographic-based program, so operating within specific zip codes or census tracts, there is presumed eligibility for households residing within what are called qualified census tracts. And I've provided a link in this presentation where you can go and view which areas of Providence are currently considered qualified census tracts. And that is sort of the lowest barrier method to enrolling somebody would be to restrict a program to qualified census tracts. Our goal here is that any program that's operated is going to be culturally competent and accessible. The goal is to serve those populations that have been most gravely impacted by the pandemic and for these dollars to flow to the communities and households most in need. An important note here is that there are challenges with using ARPA Treasury dollars as a loan. And as such, it is recommended by our ARPA compliance team that the financial assistance to clients be structured as a grant. So there are basic threshold criteria by which we're going to vet partners. We are looking, again, because of the sort of, I would say, aggressive implementation timeline, we are looking for partners who have experience managing housing rehab programs for low-income populations in Providence. We are also, again, looking for those services that can be delivered in a culturally competent and accessible way. We have many populations who are impacted by the pandemic who speak languages other than English as the primary language. To be a federal subrecipient, you do need to be eligible for federal funding, which means an active and valid registration with SAM.gov, and you cannot be a debarred organization. There is, within the application, an opportunity in an area where you can divulge if there are any potential conflicts of interest that could be impact your eligibility or need to be disclosed in accordance with federal, state, or city law. We do need to, because these are Treasury and federal funds, ensure that you have the appropriate financial systems in place and sufficient internal controls at your agency to meet the federal standards at 2 CFR 200. Because we are going to be making federal investment in privately owned housing, we do expect familiarity with the fair housing rules, as well as federal LEDSafe housing rules. There is a link to the Treasury guidance, and we hope that any applicant will have reviewed that guidance and can certify that they will fully comply with that guidance. So a little note here, you'll see an edit on the slide. This is hot off the presses, and some good news, I think, for everyone. We have gotten clearance from our ARPA compliance that we can increase the amount of budget for admin indirect costs. So we are going to be issuing an addendum and a revision to the budget form that will allow this to be increased from 7% up to 10%. So we're going to ask that any project budget be within that 10%. And I'll add that there's a little bit of an asterisk there that if you do have a federally negotiated indirect cost rate at your agency, we will allow you to charge up to the indirect cost rate if it's higher than the 10%. So the application form is open now. It's live until December 21st at 11:59 p.m. It contains some general sections on, you know, an overview of your program and general information on your agency, a narrative regarding your plan to for populations to be served, your ability to recruit contractors, other relevant details, an opportunity to provide your timeline and your anticipated budget, and then finally a certification form that you will agree to adhere to the ARPA guidelines. So we have gotten some questions on some other NOFAs that were released on whether or not you have to use our fillable PDF. It's advised that you do, but if you find that the narrative sections are not sufficient, then you're welcome to attach additional PDFs as attachments on that application form and submit as separate documents if that's needed. There is a link at the bottom of the page on the PVD Rescue Plan website for the Home Repair Fund. You'll see that that's where you can enter in, submit that fillable PDF, and then provide any additional attachments that are relevant. All submitted applications are then going to be scored and vetted based on a rubric that we've also published on that same website. So now I wanted to open up the floor to provide an opportunity for any questions and answers. And then I just wanted to flag this, that we have had some questions come up on NOFAs about indirect cost rate. And as I mentioned, we're going to be issuing an addendum that permits respondents to budget 10% of modified direct costs as an indirect cost rate, or budget a negotiated indirect cost rate if you have an approved, federally approved negotiated rate. So you'll see a modified budget form go live soon that will allow you to go up to, if you don't have a negotiated rate, up to 10%. If you do have a negotiated rate, whatever that negotiated rate is. We just ask that you provide as an attachment the verification that that rate is current and note who the federal agency was that approved it. So some good news there, you get a little more leeway in terms of indirect cost. So I'll open it up now. Everyone should have the ability to unmute. Feel free to raise your hand if you prefer, but we're open for questions and looking forward to hearing what any questions anyone might have or any clarity we can provide. Hi, Mona.
Hey, Emily.
Mona, we're having a little trouble hearing you. Oh no. Mona? Mona, are you there? You may also be able to, the Q&A function should be live. So if you do need to chat, enter in a question through the Q&A box, that may be an option as well, if anyone's having challenges coming through. So I did receive a question in the chat box. Carrie asked, can construction management be used as a direct cost? The answer is yes. If someone is construction managing an active project where someone is receiving a grant, then yes, it is absolutely a direct cost.
All right, I was waiting for Mona, but I'll just go jump in while she's straightening her out her internet. My other question had to do, now I'm sorry, I just, I lost what I was gonna say, I'm sorry. I have to think about this for a second, I apologize.
Sure, no worries. And I did see Mona just
type
a question in.
Go ahead.
If an agency has applied for the ARPA grant in a different capacity, can we still apply for this grant? Yes, absolutely. We have a number of funding opportunities that are on the PVD Rescue Plan page, and there's no limit on, you know, if it's relevant to your organization, by all means, you know, and you have the capacity to deliver on multiple grants, then please, absolutely.
Okay. All right, so my other question had to do with protecting the property. I know you said not that this was not available for loans, that it needed to be grants, but are forgivable loans a possibility, or is there some way to ensure that people are not going to flip the houses after the grant's been offered?
That's a great question. So the challenge is that we cannot structure the financing component to have any type of lifespan beyond 2026.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I don't believe that there'd be any restriction to if your program wanted to opt into deed restrictions.
Yeah.
I think we could establish a deed restriction.
Okay.
Yes, it's just the challenge is, and we were a little disappointed that ARPA is not structured to allow us to capitalize any type of revolving loan fund, or, you know, right now the city's existing home repair program we run internally is a deferred payment loan. And unfortunately the treasury dollars are just not set up to allow for program income to come back in or to remain open
okay.
on the closeout. So that's the sort of drawback and why it needs to be structured as a grant.
Well, then maybe the deed restriction would really just suffice.
Yeah, I don't see any prohibition against a deed restriction that remains in title for, you know, a period of years to prevent flipping. I think I see Dianara, is that you with the hand up?
Hi, how are you? Yes, it's me. How are you?
Great to see you. Thanks.
So this grant is similar like the one that we were doing during the summertime through DHS, which is the ARPA funds. Deferrals, as you know, we do have a lot through the weatherization program. How this program or how this fund will be assisting, because the majority of the deferrals are Navin tubes and they kind of huge amount of money to pay for the majority of the houses in the city of Providence. So it is a big problem that we're facing right now. We did use some of the ARPA fund through DHS during the summertime, but the outrage of removing oven tubes in the properties, we're talking about $30K and that it's the average amount of we're getting from electricians' proposals. So I don't know how this will fit in into this program.
Yes, absolutely. Deferrals are a big, big issue, as we know. You know, there's a number of low-income households who are not able to tap into the existing resources. So the goal here, within the city's comprehensive housing strategy and our climate justice plan is to help to mitigate those deferrals and ensure that we can be making properties safe, habitable, and as efficient as possible. And so, you know, yes, we would look, it is absolutely eligible for someone to come in to structure a program that would assist with addressing the deficiencies that cause deferrals. I'll also note the good news is that if someone is enrolled in a program like LIHEAP and would otherwise be eligible but is being deferred for a housing rehab need, then that's a household that's already been documented as eligible for ARPA. And so there wouldn't be any additional enrollment process. They would simply be able to then just be assisted through ARPA. Because that income verification is transferable.
Awesome, that's good news. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm Jamie Paquin. I don't know if I show up as my name or Dianara.
Oh, I think you're showing up as Dianara.
Okay. So my question kind of coincides with her in regards to, you know, you said there's no limit, there's no like barriers, but at the same time, we go to a house, we get a $30,000 proposal. What is the turnaround and what is the, how do you say, how long do you wait for things to get approved? Do you know they're going to get approved, or is it just going to be like the amount of time that we did with ARPA?
So our goal here is to, and that's a great question. Our goal is to empower the local agencies who want to be partners to implement these programs within your agency. And so what the requirements in terms of ARPA would just simply be like your agency following an approved procurement process to solicit bids from contractors. And provided those bids are reasonable, the work is necessary, you followed a procurement process, then there wouldn't be any sort of approval process that the city would do. We would empower, you know, an agency like CAP to make that decision.
Okay, so we would get the proposal, determine whether this home would qualify, and then it would be like, okay, green light, you can go, like just like that.
So we would ask, and our goal with this NOFA is to subgrant the funds to an outside agency. And so the outside agency, you know, like CAP or revolving fund or others who are on this call, you would implement the programs. And so the dollars, the decision-making would be yours. And provided you are making those decisions in accordance with federal regulations, then, you know, the dollars, you would be executing that agreement with the homeowner. You would be making that investment, doing the construction management, and be able to, you know, there wouldn't be any sort of additional layers of approval or steps where you'd have to consult with the city. Jamie or Dianara, do you have other questions? I'm seeing a hand up.
No, I'm all set. Thank you so much. That was very helpful.
Thank you all. Anyone else on the call who's joined us who has questions on this opportunity? Okay, so our hope is that, you know, if you have any other questions that come up, we're hoping to try to get all questions to the extent we can in by December 13th, so we can then post a Q&A online for folks to have the week leading up to the submission deadline. So if there's any questions that come in that maybe also be relevant to you or any clarification we can provide, that Q&A will be posted online along with this presentation for your reference. To reiterate, the deadline is December 21st, right before midnight. You are welcome to, I am serving as the primary point person for questions. So you're welcome to give me an email or a call with any technical questions you might have that are coming up that you're thinking of. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. We're excited that folks are interested in this opportunity. We're excited about this potential influx of resources to households that we know are, you know, gravely in need here in the city. So, you know, please, if there's anything you can do to make the application process for your agency clearer, provide any clarity you can, please let us know. Don't hesitate to reach out. All right, all. Well, if there's no other questions, I'll let you have your, I'm sure, very busy Friday afternoons back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great to see everybody.
Thank you.
Looking forward to receiving your proposals. We're very excited.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Take care, all.